Okay, hi guys. So about 3 weeks ago, not about, exactly 3 weeks ago to the minute, we started talking about chatnas. Originally, you know, our contemporary halacha series is supposed to be just regular one-off shiurim about chatnas, about any contemporary topic. So when I chose chatnas, I think people thought that it was just going to be a one-off shiur, but at that point, I decided that perhaps we should go through it more thoroughly, piece by piece. So I'm going to give a bit of a summary of the first shiur on this topic right now, hopefully that'll cover most of what we did last time, for which most of you were not here, or at least you'll get a little taste of last time, and then we'll try to run through today's topic, which is Shu'a, Tavoy, and Nuz, and defining them in terms of, this will help set the table for how we define Chatnas D'Oraisa, according to different poskim. So, first of all, just going back through last time, you know, what does the actual word chatnas mean? Where does it come from? How does it work? Rashi seems to understand it, and other Rishonim as well, as chatnas just means mixture. Okay? Also, bashatnes, don't wear a mixture. Tzemru fishim yachtav. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman understands it as a falsified garment or some sort of not real garment, because it's, you know, mixed of these two things together, so therefore it's false in some way. He gets the original wording from Coptic, but he tries to prove how that can work in Hebrew as well. Very interesting. And Shadal says it's just an Egyptian word, which means woolen linen garment. So that helps, you know, get a background on at least the psukim and what the words may mean. In the psukim, a number of these mefarshim note that Chazal darshin it is shua tavayenuz, but that doesn't mean that's actually the physical, you know, the literal meaning of the word. Rashi makes a comment that it's a drasha of Chazal. Rav Tzviyot makes a comment that it's a drasha of Chazal. Torah Tamima actually points to something very interesting. It says Chazal always darshin any word that seems to have a five-letter root. We won't talk about that so much now, but chatnas would potentially be a five-letter root, and therefore Chazal try to break it up into other words, as they do with many, many other long root words. What are some reasons given? Rashi, it's, you know, says, Eschukosai tishmor, as you'll see in source number one down below, the pasuk opens with the words Eschukosai tishmoru. This is a chok. So says Rashi, it's a chok. You don't need any reasons. You just do chatnas, you do chatnas, that's the end of the story. However, Josephus, followed by many Rishon Achronim, notes that chatnas was worn in some of the clothing of the Kohanim, and therefore it's only special for Kohanim, therefore other people in Klal Yisrael are not meant to be wearing it. The Rambam Nor Nevuchim goes after, you know, Avodah Zarah, it's connected to Avodah Zarah, therefore you can't do it, as he does with many, many mitzvos. Rabbeinu Bachya, Tuva Yikra, tells us two reasons. One is a Kabbalistic reason, which he didn't really go into all that much. The other one is a Midrashic reason, to give us schar. For those of you who live in Thornhill who are probably not under the Karabkins, pre-No-Frills Parsha Shir yesterday, he did talk about Yaglut over Yadir, and this is one place where that's sort of brought in. Rashbam says there's a mixture because one is made out of animal product, one made out of plant product, that's not good, or because wool can be colored, linen couldn't be colored in those days. You know, it's an interesting thing to look into. What does Ibn Ezra explain is that the reminder is not to mess with God's creation. God created, you know, this thing to be used in this way, so leave it like that. This applies much easier to animals, meaning don't crossbreed animals. Hashem made a, you know, a horse, Hashem made a sheep, don't breed them together, you know, or something along those lines. So too, with, you know, different products of what we're wearing, God made you linen for clothing, God made you wool for clothing, don't mix the two together. These were, of course, by the way, we have to remember the main two materials that they were making clothing out of in those days. You see them all over the Torah in different places. Dasa Kanan makes a very interesting point. He says, only Hashem wears chatnas. Does anybody know where Hashem wears chatnas? It's not some crazy Kabbalistic thing. Do you remember from what we talked about?
Yeah, I did forget, but I do.
That's okay. What would you say is like the holiest, holiest, holiest place of like anywhere ever? I mean on Earth. That ever existed on Earth. Kodesh HaKadashim. And what covers the Kodesh HaKadashim? The Parochas. And what's in the Parochas? Chatnas. So he says it's like Hashem's wearing chatnas kaviyachol, therefore we don't have the right to. And also he notes a different idea that Kayin and Hevel, what did Kayin come with? He came with flax, according to the Medrash. And what did Hevel come with? Mibcharos tzono v'chal v'yan sheep, wool. So this was sort of something that didn't go well together in that circumstance, and we still don't want it to be going together. Then we found some other interesting scholarly opinions, including those that were sort of earlier on with people trying to provide justifications and others that were later, but that they produce extra static electricity and make people in warm countries overheat. I couldn't make that one up if I wanted to. I saw that also on a Chabad website. You know, there it goes to show you. They're difficult to wash as they shrink differently, you know, I guess that can be a problem. And then there were two other ideas that connected it to other stories in the Torah, but I don't want to go through them too much. If you want, we can talk about them afterwards. But let's talk about what we're supposed to be doing today, which is Shua, Tavui, and Nuz. So, sources number one and number two, which you're likely familiar with, are two psukim in the Torah, which mention the idea of Sha'atnez. You should keep my chukim behem t'chalos every akilayim. You shouldn't crossbreed different types of animals. You shouldn't plant different types of seeds in your field. Uveged kilayim sha'atnez lo ya'ale alecha. And a garment of kilayim, which is sha'atnez, should not, you know, come upon you. Okay, and in the second pasuk in Devarim, lo silba sha'atnez, you shall not wear sha'atnez, tzemer ufishtim yachtav, wool and linen together. So, in terms of the explanation of what the literal word sha'atnez might mean, we discussed. But Chazal darshan it, as we're going to see in a few places, and these are going to be the next few sources, are what I would call the primary sources for Shua, Tavui, and Nuz, the way that Chazal understood the word of sha'atnez. So, Ein Asur Mishum Kilayim, Ela Tavui V'Arok. Source number three is two Mishnayos in Kilayim that I'm quoting. The first one is the main source. The second one is sort of secondary, Mishnah 9. As we'll see, it plays a large role in understanding what Shua will mean. But the only that which is spun or woven is prohibited under the laws of Kilayim. Ein Asur Mishum Kilayim, Ela Tavui V'Arok. Tavui, where did we have Tavui recently in the Parsha?
Looking at the Mishkan.
Mishkan, yes. Who spun?
The woman on the sheep.
The women spun the sheep, exactly. And we know the famous Rashi, right off the sheep. Yes, okay. So that's Tavui. Arug is, of course, weaving. We're going to have it coming up very, very soon. Right, when we're learning about the halachos of Tzara'as. You'll have begotten there. So Tavui, spun, Arug, woven. How do we know you need something to be spun and woven? Shene'emar lo silba sha'atnez. You shouldn't wear sha'atnez. Explains the Mishnah, davar shehu shua, tavui, vanuz. Something which is shua, tavui, and nuz. You got it, guys? Okay, so tavui, I think we're pretty certain what it basically means. It means some sort of spinning. Beyond that, what does shua mean? Who knows? What does nuz mean? Who knows? And to what does tavui apply is a very good question. But remember, the key point to take away from this line of the Mishnah is to say that clearly, the limud of Shua Tavui Nuz teaches us that the only thing that's prohibited for kilayim is Tavui and Arug. Okay? So that's something to keep in mind from this Mishnah. It has to be spun and has to be woven. How do we know that? Shua Tavui Vinuz. Okay? So that's something to keep in mind as we're going to look at the Mefarshim. And the way they may explain the words of Shua Tavui Nuz, we may see how this will correspond well to this language of the Mishnah. Are you Shimon ben Elazar Omer? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, what does it mean, sha'atnez, or specifically the last part, naloz umelizhu es aviv sheba shamayim alav. Okay? He's estranged and he estranges his father in heaven against him. We'll go a little bit more into what the words naloz umeliz, but that's basically what it means here, that he's, again, estranging Hashem against him. Okay? This is the first Mishnah that we saw in Kilayim in Perek Tes, Mishnah Ches. Now, when we turn the page to page number two, we see the second of the Mishnah. Halivadim asurim. So, levadim are felts. Anybody know how felt is made, basically? Have you ever seen, you remember playing with felts as a kid? Yeah? Okay, some of us do. Not everybody had a childhood, clearly, or their childhood was not as, I don't know, felt-centered. So how are felts made? Basically, you take a bunch of fibers, and maybe even a bunch of strength, and you press them together really, really hard, presumably now that's done with a machine, to the point that they get squished together, and then you have that sort of felty feel. Okay, so that's how you make felt. So says the Mishnah, halavadim asurim, felt is asur, mipnei shehem shu'im, because they are shu'im. Okay? the problem with having translations is translations automatically give you some sort of interpretation, which I really want to stay away from. This is going to be the main line that we actually need here. And from here, really, till the end of the Mishnah is nice stuff if you want to read through it, and you're welcome to. And it'll tell you which different things are prohibited, but we don't really need it for what we're going to be discussing today. The main line is that levadim, felts, are shu'im. So that may help give us a hint as to what shu'a means. Okay? So let's take a look at two gemaras and a very interesting sifra. So the two gemaras are as follows. The Gemara in Nida tells us a story, and here's the story. Amar Rav Acha Breid Rav Yeva Mishmei de Mar Zutra. Rav Acha, the son of Rav Yeva, says in the name of Mar Zutra, Hayman de Ramichuta de Kisna Biglime. If a person put threads of flax in his shirt, the Imra, which was made out of wool, Vinatke, and then he took them out, Veloyada Inatik Ilonatik. But when he did this, he didn't know whether or not he actually got all the linen threads out of his shirt. Okay? And the question is, can he wear this shirt? There was linen attached inside his woolen shirt. Now he thinks he took out all the linen, but he's not really sure. There could totally be linen sitting in his shirt. Can he wear this shirt? What do you guys think? What would you say? If I just asked you this nowadays, if I told you you have a shirt, there might be linen threads. It's a woolen suit jacket. There might be linen threads inside.
You can't wear it then.
Nah, you can't wear it. Are you kidding me? You can't wear it. Are you kidding me? Let's see what the Gemara says. Says the Gemara, Shapir Dami. Or as the translation is here, it is quite proper for him to wear the garment. My time. What's the reason for this? Mid Oraisa Shatniz Ksiv. Mid Oraisa. What is the Isser according to pure Torah law? It says Shatniz. Ad Shiyehe Shua Tavoy Vinuz. It has to be Shua Tavoy Vinuz. Virabbanan hu digazru bei. And the rabbis were the ones who in this situation said there's a gzera. There's a rabbinic gzera in this situation to say that it's going to be aser here because it's not shua tavoy venuz. So we know that just having one linen thread inside a garment in some way, perhaps, would not be aser mide oraisa, because mide oraisa you'd need the three components of shua tavoy and nuz. What are those? Again, that's what we're here to do, but keep in mind, we now know, again, another hint to help us discover what Shua Tavoy Anuz may mean, that this is not them, because this is only going to be Asher Min Rabbanan, and therefore, V'kevan de lo yada inatke, and since you're not sure if you took it out or not, Shari, it's going to be permitted to wear this garment. Maskif la Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks the following question. Emur o Shua o Tavoy Anuz. Just one second. Chazal made a drasha of Shua Tavoy Anuz. What do the Vavs mean? Does Vav mean and, or does Vav mean or? Mar Zutra was of the opinion that Vav means and. You need all three of them. Therefore, here, this doesn't have all three. We don't know. Maybe it doesn't even have one. We don't know. But it doesn't have all three. Therefore, it's only an Isser Midrabanan. Says Rav Ashi, Mehechatesi. Maybe Shua Tavoy Venuz means you need to have either Shua or Tavoy or Nuz. Okay, and this was Rav Ashi's opinion. He would say, presumably, that this would be an Isser Midoraisa, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to wear such a garment. Says the Gemara, correct, you have a Safek Doraisa, and you wouldn't be allowed to wear it. Says the Gemara, V'helchasa kemar zutra, midafkinu rachmana v'chada lishna. The Gemara gives you a very clear-cut psak, and says, the halacha follows whom? Not Rav Ashi, but rather, mar zutra. Why? Because the Torah said it in one word. The Torah didn't say lo silbash shua o tavui o nuz. It said lo silbash shatnez. Shatnez means all three together. And therefore the Gemara Nida says clearly, the halacha is like Mar Zutra. In a case like this, it would be permitted. Gemara Paskins. You don't see this all that often. You see it, you know, in some cases, but the reason why I'm making mention of that is because in a future shiur, God willing, we'll discuss this Gemara in more length, and we'll see whether or not this is actually the Lashon of the Gemara. Some people suppose that it is not actually the Lashon of the Gemara, and when I say some people, I don't mean an academic, you know, who is the kofar in Torah Shebal Peh, but rather people of great stature, like, I don't know, the Rambam, quoted by the Beis Yosef, the Ralbag, so something to think about. But anyways, the point is that this is it's a hint to us to try to understand Shua, Tavoy, and Nuz. We know that having this thread in your garment is not Shua, Tavoy, and Nuz, but it very likely is one of Shua, or Tavoy, or Nuz. Yes?
At this point, it's mutter if you have only one of them or two of them.
Not it's mutter, it's only an Esra Drabbanan. But when you have a suffix on an Esra Drabbanan, you're allowed to wear the garment, says the Gemara. It's still an Esra Drabbanan, Rabbanan Hud Gazrube, 100%. Now, the truth is, the next source is really unnecessary for this source. Today I brought it in because it's the other place where we say Shua Tavoy V'Nuz in Shas. The only reason why it's important is because the case that the Gemara is dealing with there is going to be of utmost importance to help us define Shua Tavoy and Nuz. So at the beginning of the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara discusses the idea of Asei Doche Lo Sase. Can anybody explain that to me very basically?
Instead of doing a positive mitzvah, we'll have to incorporate doing a negative one. You'll have to do it.
Right. So basically the idea being, again, you have an assay, and by doing it you will be over on a los assay. Is it better to do the assay and say, you know what, we're going to do the assay and it's going to be doche the los assay? Exactly the lumsus of all that. Don't be medayik in my words on the recording or even now to say, oh, he must have learned this pshat and assay doche los assay. That's not true. I'm just trying to give a basic understanding as to say that an assay will come and say, do the assay and don't worry about the los assay, whether it's nincha, it's this, it's that. There are a lot of halachos that go into this. What is one of the possible ways that we learn this halacha, though? Shatnez and tzitzis. What does it say? If you look back, right, where we had source number two, lo silbah shatnez samaru fishtim yachtav, if you look at the next pasuk, you'll see that it says, gedilim tas alach. You should wear tzitzis. So one of the approaches the Gemara takes is to say that teaches us, despite the fact that it says lo silbah shatnez gedilim taselach, the asay is doche the lo saasay. Okay, so that's really what's going on. The Gemara Yevamos, that's something important to know. But again, the Gemara there is dealing with drashas. You really have to see the whole Gemara to get an idea of what this is saying. But that's why I brought this source on the sheet. You're welcome to look at it, you know, inside in a bigger context, and you'll get more out of the sugya as to where exactly we learn each of the halachos of shatan is from, and whether or not we have, you know, a pasuk remaining open in order to tell us ase do chalos ase. Okay. Anyways, the last source that's important to see is the sifra. Very interesting. So here's the Sifra inside. Okay, the Sifra, are you familiar with what the Sifra is? I think we mentioned a little bit about this one time when we had a contemporary halacha shir about halachic midrashim. So Sifra is one of the classic halachic midrashim, Sifra, Sifri, where in them we learn halachos from the psukim. It's not medrash like stories and agada, but midrashim that are specifically meant to teach you halachos, and they're extremely heavy in many of the parshios, which are halacha-centric, and extremely light in parshios, which aren't. So the Sifra explains as follows, Uveged filay matam udlomar lafi shenemar lo sil bashat ne semer ufishtim yachtat. That's what it says in the pasuk. Yacha lo yil bash gizei temer va'anise pishtan. One might think you can't wear, again, just shearings of wool and big clumps, I guess, of pishtan. I forget how to translate that. It's in a few different gemaras. It has to do with the process of making it, but I don't remember what it is right now. Talmud Lomar, beged. It has to be an actual beged. It can't just be these, you know, unfinished products. Ainli ala beged, minayin l'rabos es halivadim. How do I know that I include even felts? Talmud Lomar, sha'atneiz davar shehu shua tavui vinuz. Okay, so Shua Tavoy V'Nuz somehow teaches you. Shatan is, again, something to keep in mind for how we will be interpreting the word Shua Tavoy V'Nuz. It seems to be that Levadim felt are included in that. Now, it's very likely that this Sifra actually supports the view of Rav Ashi to say that you only need one. But we'll get through it as we see. Now, let's just give you a little bit of background on linen production. It actually is important to distinguish between certain shitos in Shua. And is probably useful. I don't think you need to know the terminology or anything, but just to know the basic process. So here we go from Wikipedia, Baruch Hashem. I always try to give money to Wikipedia every once in a while because of the amount that they enrich my life. But regardless of that, maybe that's for another contemporary halacha shiur. Should you give money to Wikipedia? The quality of the finished linen product in source number 7 is often dependent upon growing conditions and harvesting techniques. To generate the longest possible fibers, flax is either hand-harvested by pulling up the entire plant, or stalks are cut very close to the root. After harvesting, the plants are dried. The seeds are removed through a mechanized process called rippling, threshing, and winnowing. This is, you guys are just working with Hilchot Shabbos in the previous year, so you should be very familiar with this. The fibers must then be loosened from the stalk. This is achieved through redding. This is a process which uses bacteria to decompose the pectin that binds the fibers together. Natural redding methods take place in tanks and pools or directly in the fields. There are also chemical redding methods. These are faster, but are typically more harmful to the environment and to the fibers themselves. So here we go. Here's the important part. After redding, the stalks are ready for scutching, which takes place between August and December. Scutching removes the woody portion of the stalks by crushing them between two metal rollers so that the parts of the stalk can be separated. The fibers are then removed, and the other parts, such as linseed, chive, and tow, are set aside for other uses. Okay, so we have this crushing thing where you smush it like this, and it allows you to, again, take out the fibers properly. Next, the fibers are heckled. Have you ever heckled anybody? Hopefully not. It's a terrible thing to do. You should never do that. But if you're heckling over the Avodah Zarah or something along those lines, then maybe it would be permitted. What does heckling mean here? It actually means combing. The short fibers are separated with heckling combs by combing them away to leave behind only the long, soft flax fibers. After the fibers have been separated and processed, they are typically spun into yarns and woven or knit into linen textiles. These textiles can then be bleached, dyed, printed on, or finished with a number of treatments or coatings. An alternate production method is known as cottonizing, which is quicker and requires less equipment, blah, 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 blah. The flax stalks are processed using traditional cotton machinery. However, the finished fibers often lose the characteristic linen look. Okay, so we've got scutching, which we need to remember about, which is crushing it. And we've got heckling, which means to comb through it. And then after that, we have the different spinning that goes on. And then after spinning, there could be lots of other things that happen. So first, let's take a look at what shua means. Okay, so this is in section C, defining shua. So Rashi and Nida, we'll take a look at some of the sugyas. The truth is, you can look in also the sugyas in Yevamos and find similar comments by both Rashi and Tosfos. But Rashi says, what does shua mean? Shua lashon chalak. What does chalak mean? Smooth, right? You can have meat which is chalak. You can have all sorts of things which are chalak. And how does he know that? Targum shel chalak shi'iya. Because the translation of chalak is shi'iya. Anybody know where in the Torah we'd have the word chalak? When Yaakov is, being dressed up by Rivka as Esav, he says, I'm very, very smooth, but my brother is hairy. And the targum there of chalak is shi'iya, right? And when it says she put the stuff on his neck, it says ve'al chelkas tzavarav, on the smooth part of his neck. So chalak, which means smooth, is she'iya. So Rashi says shua comes from that. It's a word connection. Klomar, what does this mean? What do you mean smoothing? She'yihu chalukin yachad b'masreik. It means you have to take your two fibers. You're taking wool and you're taking linen, and you're running the heckling comb through them together. Chalukin yachad b'masreik, and that's smoothing them, okay? They're rough, but when you comb through them, right, you're getting out all the knots or all the other stuff that shouldn't be there, and this is what Rashi says shua means. Shua means taking wool and taking linen and running a comb through them. All clear? Even with the action happening behind me?
This part, if you want to make the other word, you do that?
Well, it doesn't matter why someone would do that. I'll first point, I could see people doing that if they want to make a fiber that is mixed of wool and linen. That's the main point. But the other thing is, Rashi just saying, listen, the Torah says it has to be shatnez severu fishtim yachtav. Shatnez means shua tava yanuz. Shua means combing. If it has to be combing of wool and linen together, then it's combing of wool and linen together, meaning it's irrelevant whether or not anybody would actually do this. If that's going to be the meaning of the pasuk, then that's the end of the story.
No, no, we do it. Like, if something that we did, it would make sense that it would be
So we'll have a complaint, not a complaint, a kasha really, by many others on this pshat, on the togetherness. This is going to be really, I would say, probably the next year, is defining the major shitos of whether or not this needs to be done together, separately, or whatever the case may be. But Rashi is not the only opinion as to that you know, what Shua might actually mean. Meaning, not only do we have to deal with the together and separate issue, which we will, God willing, I don't know so much today, we'll talk about some of the questions that relate to doing it together or not, especially in Tavui, because it'll help us with definitions there, but it'll also apply to Shua and also apply to Nuz. And says, so Rashi says that it's about the heckling process. If you look in the Sefer Yashar to Rabbeinu Tam and very and very many other sources, you'll see I used the Encyclopedia Talmudit for some of the sources that I got here. It's, you know, very, very helpful, and it explains things very clearly with insane numbers of sources. It's interesting because they didn't have the Sefer HaYashar listed as one of the sources that says this. But says Rabbeinu Tam in his Kiddushim 38, in the Sefer HaYashar, Hach shmaita dekilayim hachisalka lefiros enay dekilayim deoraisa shua. So what does shua mean? Sheyehe hatzemer shua levado. Okay, the wool has to be shua levado. And he's going to say Vapishtan Shua Levado later on. But what does Shua mean? Minupatz v'chalak. What is minupatz? So minupatz means to like hit or make something break into a bunch of pieces. I would guess, and I think this is the simple understanding that other people say as well, that minupatz would probably be this previous idea, which is again to crush them in some way, right? When you're crushing something, I could see how you would call that minupatz, maybe hammered out. I think people also talked about, I don't quite see how that is, but I would guess that would be the stutching, where people are sort of flattening it, smashing it. It may be one of the much, much earlier processes, but I don't believe that to be the case here. I think that minupatz, the way it's expressed by Rabbeinu Tam and by others as well, is simply to say that, again, it's smashed in some way, and that's slightly earlier point in the process. Okay, so that's how he would be explaining it. It's not necessarily about the combing. The combing doesn't necessarily need to happen in his understanding in order for it to be shatnez de oraisa. Right, so chalak just means to make it smooth. If you're crushing it, you're probably making it smooth, right? Meaning it's not necessarily also including combing, although I believe from other places, Tosfos does make it sound like maybe it may also be to comb. This was just one source that I saw that wasn't in the Encyclopedia Talmudit. I decided to bring it, but there definitely are people who say it just means minupatz, period. Okay? But it could be that in Hanami, according to Rabbeinu Tam, realistically, you'd be combing it anyways. So he would say, and again, the wool has to be shua by itself, the linen has to be shua by itself. That's how he understands shua. The Rif has a very interesting take, which may also be the sheet of the Rambam, may also be the sheet, it is the sheet of many, many other people, as to what shua means. And he goes, takes this, you know, flattening idea one step further. Shua hu davar hamischaber umisarev ze im ze. Shua means to combine. Harbe v'eino nifrad, and it would not come apart. Kemo alevadin, just like levadin. The Rif runs back to that second Mishnah that we saw in Kalim in the middle of source number 3, and says alevadim asur mipnei shehim shuim. The levadim are asur because they are shuim. What does shuim mean? So you might be able to explain it as combed like Rashi, which is how the translation of this Mishnah that we had here explained it, which is how many of the Mefarshia Mishnah explained it as well, following Rashi, although many disagree, right? That would be one take. He says, no, shu'im means really smushed together till they're smooth, meaning you had all these fibers sitting around, all these threads sitting around, boom, crush them together until they're smooth. And that's what it means. And it's a way to combine them. Okay, v'zeh ha'shua aser, v'hu sheminapzin ha'tzemer v'apishtan v'yachad, v'ilakeru sam ke'en ha'levadim, v'yasa mehem beged echad. K'mo shekasav mishnasenu ha'levadim aser, v'pnei she'en shu'en, and that's what he quotes. U'fer shua targum v'tach es ha'bayes v'shua besa. Okay, and that's going to be in other places, but it's a support that he's bringing to say that it means to combine it and you know, smooth it out, whatever that means, over there. Okay, so this is the Rif. So we really have three ideas as to what Shua might mean. Shua might mean simply combing. Shua might mean simply beating or again, maybe stutching. Or finally, it means actually to take some sort of finished product and, you know, or at least fibers and smush them together to create a finished product, which is like that. Okay, and Encyclopedia Talmudit goes through. I just brought you this as a summary. I like to leave sources that I use on my source sheet, even if they're unnecessary, just that people shouldn't think that I'm, you know, such a brilliant genius who can find all these different sources on my own. Really, I should give credit to Bar Ilan on every source sheet, too. But I don't like to leave off, you know, important sources. Also, that, you know, it serves useful to see how they say it and they explain it. Okay? And he says, Yeshem Farshim Shua, Saruk B'Masarek, Shesarkim Asasemer V'Zepishtan Lifnei Tviyasam, that you, again, heckle it, V'Kol HaKasha Shebehem Nishar B'Shinei HaMasarek, and anything that's hard on the inside, again, you know, stays in the teeth of the comb. Right? V'Hayeter Nishar Chalak, and the rest remains very smooth. The Targum Chalak She'iyah V'Yeshem Farshim Shua Minupat, some people explain it again to be hammered out or crushed in some way. V'Yeshem Farshim Shua Shetorfim Tzemru Fishtim Zem Zeh V'Osem Mehem Levadim V'Osem Mehem Ke'en Levush V'Datam Lashon Shua Nemar Al Chibur V'Iru Shel Shnei Dvarim She'inam Nifradim Kamo Levadim Milashon V'Tach Es Habayis V'Shetargum V'Yashua Yas Besa, which again is to combine it together. Oh, as I explained, Shalibud Nikra Shua Milashon Hachlaka, smoothing. Okay, so that's how I explained it, but you can really explain it in two ways. So, and maybe that would even include smoothing it after it is spun and woven. What's interesting, by the way, is that according to the first opinions, Shua seems to be very early on in the process. So Shua Tavayanus could follow technically a chronological order. Certainly according to Rashi it does, according to Rabbeinu Tam it does as well. According to the Riff and the others that are with him, it doesn't necessarily. Okay? So that's Shua. Three opinions, as we said, pretty straightforward, I think, other than this idea that we're still going to have to deal with, which is it, you know, both by themselves or together? What does Tavui mean? Okay? The only reason I even had a section here altogether was because of this Tshuva Sagaonim at the bottom in source number 14. But in source number 12, let's start with Rashi. Rashi says, Tavui, they need to be spun yachad, together. When you're spinning the strings, they have to be spun, the two fibers together, the wool together with the linen together. So first they were combed together, and now you're spinning them together. And how does Tosfos say? Tosfos asks a question which is sort of like what you were saying, but I think better from a halachic perspective. Tosfos says the following. Pirush Rashi. Targum shel chalak she'iyah shecholken oso yachad b'masreik v'tavu yachad v'nuz arug v'rabbanan gazer v'arug v'lo shua v'tavu. Okay, that's the Lashon Rashi. The point is Rashi is there together. V'kashe says to us, v'stim kein kilayim b'titzis hechi mishkachas la. What are you going to do with the case of shadnez and tzitzis? We said that we want to get from psukim that asei dochalos asei, that you can make your tzitzis despite the fact that there will be a kilayim challenge because tchelas has to be made out of wool, and what are you going to do for linen garments? So therefore we know that you're going to have a deoraisa chashash of shatnez, and therefore we need the pasuk to tell you, despite your deoraisa shatnez, put on tzitzis. So says Rabbeinu Tam, Mr. Rashi, or Rabbi Rashi probably, or grandpa, or whatever he called him, hey, if I told you, let's say you took woolen fibers and you combed them by themselves, you spun them by themselves, you twisted them into nice, beautiful woolen tzitzis, and then you put them on the corner of your linen garment, how on earth would you understand that to be shatnez d'oraisa? According to Rashi, they have to be combed together. They have to be spun together. But that doesn't happen in tzitzis. Or are you kidding? Again, where it happens is a good question. But at the very least, it certainly doesn't happen in tzitzis. So Rabbeinu Tam objects to Rashi, it's impossible that they were done together. Impossible. If they were done together, then how could you possibly have that on tzitzis? And says Tosfos, right? 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 That's all done by themselves. Okay? Shua and Tavui, and he's going to say Nuz as well, but I cut it off here because we're talking about Tavui right now. I should have put an ellipsis at the end of that, the three dots. He says each one has to be Shua and Tavui and Nuz by itself. Okay? Very interestingly, so therefore, according to him, when you have Tchelas Tzitzis, let's say, which need to be made out of wool, so you have your wool, the wool is all done by itself, the linen is all done by itself, you make your linen garment, you have your wool and tzitzis, you attach them together, shatnez d'oraisa. All clear? And therefore, you need a pasuk to tell you, no, nevertheless, go and put tzitzis on your linen garment.
How does that work with what we've seen before, that you have the string in the garment, the first thing Gemara you have, where you said it's mother, the suffix here. And we said
well, that's it. I'm confused.
We had a Gemara where the guy has his linen, his wool garment with linen threads in it.
Yeah. How would that be Doraisa, according to Rabbeinu Tam?
What's worse than, what's...
Who says it was Shua Tavo Yanuz by themselves in those cases? The key is going to be Nuz, which Rabbeinu Tam says is twisted together. Certainly the threads that went in weren't necessarily twisted together, but they may not have been even Shua and Tavoy by themselves. We don't know that. So that's how you would get out of it. But the key point is going to be Nuz. And we're going to see that's going to present a problem in general. I saw, interestingly, though, in the Tshuvas HaGaonim, they actually understand this to be talking about doing it together, but in a slightly different way than both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Really both different than Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam says they're by themselves. V'hativoy al shnei panim. O shetovin semer ufishtim terufin zeh bazeh. Or you would spin them, you know, that are, again, you know, we're already combed out with each other and they're mixed with each other. Osha tavin chut semer levadov, chut pishtan levadov, vechozrin vitovin shnei achutim zeim ze li yosam mishuzar. They understand that tavia even includes a following step, meaning even if you don't want to sort of spin them together, both fibers, into one string, you can still get away with making a chutneys deoraisa by then spinning two single threads into a doubled thread, which is what we would call mishuzar, okay, which is twisted together, really. But he's saying it in the lashon of spinning, meaning according to the Gaonim, it even includes, tavoy even includes twisting two threads together to the point that they form a single thread, like you sort of have on tzitzis, right? Obviously, that's not Semer and Pishtim, but it is threads twisted together to make a thicker thread. Okay, you'll notice it's actually made of a lot of different ones that are all mixed together. So these are basically the three opinions we have for Tavoy. Rashi says you literally have to spin them both together. Rabbeinu Tam says you've got to spin them both by themselves. And Tshuvas HaGaonim say either you spin them together or you spin them separately and then spin them a second time, twisting them into a single thread. Even though the first threads are separate, the second thread, when you mix them together, a thicker thread made of at least two parts, that can also count as tavui. Okay, so this is what we've got for Shua, and we've got tavui. Okay? Note that, by the way, this kash of Tosfos and Rashi is a very, very good one. How can you have Shatnas Doraisa? Keep that in mind as well. That is one of the reasons why Tosfos would reject Rashi's reading of certain parts of Shua, Tavoy, Venuz. Nuz is going to be, you know, sort of the most complicated one in terms of fitting everything together, though. So we've got Shua, we've got Tavoy, now let's take a look at Nuz. Venuz. Says Rashi, what does Nuz mean? Aruk. Woven. Where did Rashi get that from? Quick. Come on. Which source? I'll give you a hint. It's not a pasuk, but it's a Mishnah. Forget the Gemara. What does the Mishnah say? Ein aser mishum kelaim ela tavui ve'aruk shenemar lo silba shat nezdarashu shua tavui ve'nuz. So Rashi says, let's play a matching game. Shua, we know what it means. It means smooth. We can figure that out. It means combing. Tavui matches up with tavui. So aruk must match up with nuz. Pretty simple, right? And Rashi says, Mishnah, what are you bothering me? That's what nuz means. In the case of Nida, by the way, what happened? It was aruk. There was a thread that went through the linen thread that went through the woolen garment. But there was no combing together. There was no spinning together. No worries. Why? Because it was spun and combed and heckled by itself. So therefore, that's why it's an Isra Rabbanan in that case. So Rashi says, no, it's very simple, means woven. Rabbeinu Tam, and really Tosfos, ask even more questions on this opinion of Rashi's. We quoted, again, Rashi's opinion. After quoting Rashi's opinion, this is sort of intertwined with the other parts of Tosfos that I brought above. Again, I tried to separate it based on what I, you know, felt was pertinent for each of these. Say Tosfos, Ve'od kasha, di'in nuz arug, who, if nuz really means woven, my parach ve'ema o shua o tavoy o nuz. Says, what's the Gemara saying? It's either smoothed, or it's spun, or it's woven. Hechi yeshua o tavoy kilayim below nuz. Says, you're telling me, what does nuz mean? It means putting them together to make a garment. Says Rabbeinu Tam, and how exactly are you going to wear strings on your body? You're just going to take some threads and put them over your shoulder? Like, if you don't have a garment, so then what does it mean? O shua, o tavoy, o nuz. That's impossible. You can't have a garment that's only tavoy, or that's only shua. That's not a garment. Right? So what's going on? Says Rabbeinu Tam, how can you possibly say that nuz would mean aruk? Right? V'od, delama likra dinuz la'ariga. Miyachtav nafka, didarshina minash tek tifkos, v'kol shechein aruk. Says number two, you're forgetting the rest of the pasuk Rashi in the drasha, which we learned from that. Lo silbashatne semer ufishtim yachtav. Arena Tom says the word yachtav teaches you that you're combining them into a garment. Not the fact that it says sha'atnez. Yachtav teaches us even if you just put it two stitches in, that's going to be considered a doraisa, intermingling or mixture, I should say. So how can you possibly tell me that's what nuz means, right? So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam explained that midoraisa you need shua tav v'nuz, uferush nuz, he says you need each one by itself. What does nuz mean according to Rabbeinu Tam? Hainu shazur. It has to be twisted. Kedisa b'mishnayis, nuz naluzu melizhu le'aviv sheba shamayim, etz tvitzhu belaz. I think that comes from twist. Okay, it probably comes from twist. Lashon ikeshuv salto, like a twisted person. Okay, this is naluz umeliz la'aviv sheba shamayim. It's twisted. Umishum hachi, it's drekral mishri kelayim betzitzis. He says, that's why you need the pasuk for kelayim betzitzis. Why? Take a look at the tzemer. You have shua, it's combed out. It's tavo, it's spun, and it's nuz. It's twisted into a thicker string. And you're attaching that to your baget of pishtan. And you're attaching it in a permanent way, which would fall under the category of yachdav. You have shatnez d'oraisa. Any problems with that, by the way? Very good. What?
That would be a riga,
the attaching it. So, Yachdav is more expansive. Everybody's going to agree that there are other ways in which you can attach, and what make, like tying something very tightly to something else would be no different than connecting it with. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see exactly what that might include when we get to the more halachic parts of it. But this is Rabbeinu Tam's point. I did see in the Tashbeis an excellent kasha, which I see you were just mechavin to, which is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what do you need in order to make something wool that's qualified for shatnez? It needs to be shua tava yanuz. What do you need in order to make something that's pishtan for qualified shatnez?
Same thing.
It has to be shua tava yanuz. And what does nuz mean? Twisted into a thicker string. I believe I saw in the Tashbeis, he asked, he says, Rabbeinu Tam, you're no better than Rashi. What was your problem with Rashi? How can you have kelayim betzitzis d'oraisa? Excuse me, he says. You're telling me that your beged is shazur? It has twisted, thickened strings? So as far as I know, begadim don't have shazur in them. Right? So anyways, that's his interesting. Kashi has a whole different approach, which we're going to see actually, I guess, right now in the Encyclopedia Talmudit summary of this. And then I think we're going to actually end a little bit early. It's interesting to see, though, but for all these things, how we get to the definitions that we come up to. There is a certain element, and we'll continue it now, but I just wanted to pause at this point to add that. There's an element relating to words, right? They're trying to find targumin. There are other languages that come into play. If you look in the footnotes in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, which give different sources, you see all different languages the different Rishonim bring in, try to prove that what they're saying is right. And you see in Tosfos, nolo zumelis, what does that mean? Twisted. Well, right? Everybody's trying to play a game, not only trying to understand the words, but also trying to fit in the halachos that come alongside them. Meaning you have to understand the Gemara Nida. You have to understand the Gemara Nibamas. You have to understand the Mishnah Kelayim. Right? If the Mishnah Kelayim says, Alavadam asur mifnei she'ein shuim, what does that mean? Obviously, you have to take into account there's something asur midoraisa, something asur midrabanan, but these are the sort of struggles that you have back and forth, saying on the one hand, I seem to understand that it means this in terms of the translation of the word. Then we have to take into account, how is this case going to work, how is that case going to work, and how does the Gemara describe all of these things in all these cases, and the earlier sources describe them. So that's something that's always a balance. Take a look at a couple of other options in addition to these that we saw. So, nuz yesh mefarshim arug, shekach karen la'arig, belashon arami, nuz. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Yesh mefarshim shazur, sheshozim shnei chutim yachad, kano naluz shepirusho akum. Okay? Slanted. Ke'in chut shazur ukam umepusal. He seems to understand it that it's because it's a slant when they go next to each other, right? If you take a look at your tzitzis, you'll see what I'm talking about. Slanted, not necessarily twisted, which I think it comes from, but he's understanding it as slanted, right? Because when you twist something together, it's going to go at a diagonal down. I'm sure all you know what I'm talking about, even though I can't express myself properly. Spiral, thank you. There we go. Uda'atam osa shedar shushen kilayim ala ba'arug lefi shenemar shatnez shuatav evinu etz velomi shatnez lam. And that which we say, you need Arug back in that Mishnah and Kilayim, right, which we said that it's Ela Tavuy V'Arug. They learned the word Arug not from Shua Tavuy V'Nuz, but from the word Yachdav. Okay, and that's what Rabbi Natan says in Tosus. V'yesh kasvu shenuz hu lashon sibuch shal shnei dvarim ze bazeh. Okay, so some sort of connection or intertwining. Any sort of connection is, according to these people, something that's going to make it nuz. As we said, it doesn't mean this was a tashbetz. We weren't quite sure what this meant. I asked around a little bit. It's possible that it means that it's completely surrounded with another string, but it's hard to say. Okay, the same way that you spin strings which are meant to be used in, you know, the cross form when you're weaving garments together, but not the same way as the strings of those who make belts, which are stretched out without whatever this pisul is. Pisul may be, again, some sort of surrounding like this, where you're twisting one thread around another, and that's some way of strengthening it, I guess. What?
Like the chulios.
Sure, I mean...
The coils around the...
Right, I mean, that's where I was assuming it was from. Yes, is exactly. That's what pisil means, and that's what it means, pisil techeles. That's why I have the techeles going around, which truth is I should give a shir on that also. But I have a nice shir that I have Zocha and Tomo to write up the shirim of Rabbi Shurkin for the yeshiva's sefer 2 years in a row. It's one of the years I wrote on the topic of techeles on a shir that he gave when we were learning Givamos. So the truth is I should have brought this in, but maybe next time, but... whatever this means, that may be what he means by pisul here, because it's not really twisting. It seems to be covering it in some way like that, but I'm not 100% sure, and I wouldn't, you know, stake anything on it. He wants, you know, to suggest that, you know, part of the reason why he says this is specifically lafukar Rabbi Tam and Rashi to answer the question which he asked from Shatnez and Tzitzis, so that way even a beged would be considered Shatnez d'oraisa. Realistically speaking, though, the way we've understood Shua Tavoyanuz, I don't know too much about the production methods nowadays, but certainly many of the production methods don't include all three of what we've seen according to the various Mefarshim. And the big takeaway from this is that when we go look towards the Halacha, you're going to be very hard-pressed if you take the Gemara and Nida at face value and say that that's the actual Halacha Lamaisa, that you need all three. It's going to be basically impossible to find Shatnez d'oraisa nowadays, being realistic. Now, what that means, it doesn't mean you can wear it, but there are going to be certain differences. For example, if you see someone wearing Shatnez d'oraisa, you have to tear off his clothing in the middle of the street. If you see someone wearing Shatnez d'rabanan, you don't. So it's less exciting in society. But the point is that there will be nafkaminas from these, but also, depending on how we interpret them, they may be more or less relevant to us nowadays. Rashi's is like miles away. There's no way that you have Shatnez d'oraisa nowadays for Rashi, unless you're literally going to try to do something like that. You don't have clothing that are made like that. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam, it's getting closer, you know, so knowing these definitions of what they may be, and then in the future when we'll fit them into the shitos which are expressed in the Tur, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, and Nosei Kelim, those will be important to remember to see what types of issues you may have, as well as understanding what types of isurim you may have in, you know, less classic, you know, in less classic connections of Semer Ufishtim. Would that be considered Shua? Meaning, if pushing something together is Shua, you may have an issue. If Shua is really just combing, so if you don't comb something, you know, then you may be more off the hook for it. So these will be key to remember for next time. Obviously, I didn't give you a list of everybody who says every opinion. If you want that, you can look in the Encyclopedia Talmudit footnotes, and then some, probably. But you do get a better idea of what these definitions mean when you see them in the future, and how they will play a role in understanding the actual shitos of these Rishonim when it comes to Kilayim D'oraisa or D'rabbanan. Specifically, the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam will be of key importance. Rabbeinu Tam, by the way, can't understand Nuz as weaving because he holds this is all being done by themselves, right? I mean, that's really one of his points. So balancing in all the words and the shitos and whether they're being separately or together and all of these different ideas is something that's quite complicated, but this should sort of give you an overview so that we can continue into the Halacha L'maisa. Thank you.